Now, Lord Putnam, you're a digital champion for Ireland. Can you tell me, first of all, what that means? What's your role?
I see it as a kind of catalyst, really, for change. I'd have no power, so all I have is the power to catalyse. I work for two ministers, Rory Quinn and Pat Rabbit, who I like a lot, both of whom are genuine enthusiasts and have given me a great deal of freedom. The really important thing is to make sure that as the digital world develops, it does not develop in silos, that it escapes from the not invented here world that certainly has bedeviled me for many, many, many years working in the UK, and is seen as running right across society. So bringing people together is going to be far and away the most important part of the job, and getting people to understand that this is about infrastructure, it's about education, it's about the elderly, you know, it's about loneliness, it's about addressing the problems that Ireland has as a very largely rural community, Asian communities. I mean, it's about all those things, getting them to talk to each other, getting them to share experiences, and getting to see how they can be of mutual assistance to each other. I think it's a pretty big job. If I do that, I'll have done a great job.
Creativity is at the heart of your thinking about digital, digital media. Tell me, everybody these days is a producer, a creator, can make music online. How does the industry compete with that, if you like? How do you add value?
I'm very, very keen that the richness of the web and the richness of the digital society is used to get engaged in informed debates, for example, on things like climate change. Climate change is immensely complicated. It will affect the lives of all my children, and certainly all my grandchildren. That deserves a richness of debate, not a simplification of debate. It has to start with the producers because the consumers in the end respond to what the producers do. I was a film producer. It was my responsibility to offer my audience something that elevated them and allowed them to walk out of the cinema feeling better about themselves, more informed about the world, and with some kind of ideas running around their head. I used to think the great triumph for a movie producer was, what was the conversation going to be over coffee after the movie? Had you created a more elevated conversation and a more interesting conversation and a more informed conversation, you know, coming out of the killing fields? Did you know more about Cambodia, and did you want to know more about Cambodia? I'd like to think you did. I could have just made a Sylvester Stallone slam bang shoot 'em up movie. I didn't, because that's not the way I want society to evolve.
And Ireland's had a slow start, as you know, due to the slow rollout of broadband. What's your vision for the future here?
I think we've got to speed up adoption. There is a long tail of non-adopters that need to understand the way in which their lives can be richer and benefit from digital adoption. I think that we need to sort our thinking out regarding intellectual property and the ownership of intellectual property and the use of intellectual property. I would very much like Ireland to take the lead in Europe over inducing probably the right word because it's nice and neutral, the ISPs to begin to understand that they have responsibility, that they are not just pipes, tubes and conveyors of information. They actually have responsibilities, and have them play a more significant, important and active role in the way in which the digital society that we live within develops. It's not the same as just a line or a connecting device. It actually has to make some judgments. And those judgments, if they're made correctly, actually could both stimulate the economy and actually make this a more harmonious and a more comfortable society to live in. Ireland's one of the most articulate countries, I think, in the world. The Irish don't even realise how articulate they are. They're good at formulating ideas, and they're good at explaining and communicating those ideas. And that's going to be a fundamental skill in the digital world. We're going to have to escape from the duh, like, you know, form of society into something a lot more articulate. The reasons for that, some of them are technological. And Ireland's beautifully placed to be, as it were, or could almost be the world's explainer, the world's conduit of interesting information, and maybe even the world synthesizer of interesting information.
Now, you've been very passionate about the Leveson inquiry and the criticism for news media and journalism. What's your view of the Royal Charter, the outcome of Leveson?
I don't like the idea of Royal Charter being used as a way of avoiding parliamentary debate, which is actually what's happened. Having said that, I think the outcome from my perspective is probably as good as was available at the moment. And I think it's an interesting precursor to a much bigger debate that's got to take place, which is the whole issue of ownership and plurality and concentration of power in the media. So for me, as a staging post, I think the Royal Charter in getting a debate going and then rolling forward is valuable. There's no question about that. I think that it's been a huge reality check, or should have been a huge reality check, on the press media, and a place to move on from. We're still getting the threat that that some of the press barons won't sign up to it. I think they'd be crazy, because the alternative to signing up to it is you're going to have a series of very high-profile lawsuits. And the notion that the media would wish to find themselves in the hands of judges making judgments, which you can never know which way those are going to bounce, would seem to me to be crazy. So I don't actually think, I think I'm listening to all the threats and the huffing and puffing, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of foot dragging, but in the end I think the Royal Charter will get signed up to, and I think that far from inhibiting the press, I think there'll be a huge sigh of relief. I talk to a lot of journalists. Within the journalistic world, I think there'll be a big sigh of relief. So I see a drift towards journalists having being more empowered, having more say in the nature of what they do. And yeah, I think there's going to be some of the old-time editors who are going to hate it. But they're just going to have to, as my wife always says, suck it up and get on with it.